listening to Thought Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. And today, this is hour two of Saturday, April the 20th, 2024, 4/20/2024. And you're listening to Thought Crime Live. And I'm joined by Mr. Michael Gaddy today. And I wanted to mention also there is a chat room if you guys would like to interact. It's at tclsdw.chatango.com. That's Thought Crime Live, Stephen Douglas Whitener, .chatango.com. Just the initials, tclsdw.chatango.com. So y'all are welcome to interact there. And if you guys happen to have, if you have a legitimate question for Mr. Gaddy or myself about this, about the history here, you feel free to ask it. I mean, we want to stay on the topic. If you do, call in, please. And with that, Mike, let me toss it back to you, sir.
Well, you know, I brought up that question again, if people are held in a captive society, which is what our government has us in. I mean, they can tax us to any limit they want, to any extent they want, not limit, and for any reason they want, in any amount that they want. And we have no say-so in that. We are, in effect, slaves under that system of itself. And then, of course, you know, you have the necessary and proper clause in the Constitution, which James Madison said himself, no government can be held to its expressly delegated powers. All governments must have the power of, you know, whatever we want. And so it's then you go to the supremacy clause, which says that the federal government is supreme over anything the states or the people think they want to do. So, you know, it's just absolutely amazing that, yes, we're all in political jail. And in 1860, our ancestors said, we've had enough of this political jail. We saw it coming. Patrick Henry said in 1787 or 88 at the Virginia Ratification Convention, he made it very simple. If we ratify this Constitution, the states are committing suicide. And he said the people who do not have the interest of the South themselves will govern over us, and we will have a civil war in less than 100 years. Well, actually, it happened in 70-some years. But they saw this coming. They knew what would happen if we continued with this government the way it was set up. And yet, Patrick Henry is considered by many to be the most devout Christian among our founders, and yet he is probably the most ignored. Oh, yes, he said, give me liberty or give me death. Well, that's enough of you, Patrick. Go sit down and shut up.
That's very true. That's the main thing that they repeat about Patrick Henry in the school system. If I ask people if they know anything about him, that's pretty much all I knew to start with. And that whole quote is relevant too, not just that part of it, but you know, he did try to stand up for liberty. You know, there are few that did, and you know, my education in them woefully inadequate. I'm really glad that I met you and I'm learning from this. And you guys, if you want to learn more of this, you go to Mike's Substack. That's give out your Substack to Mike, because Mike puts a lot of this information out there and some of the original source documents too.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. Thank you for that opportunity. It's Michael Gaddy, michaelgaddy.substack.com. And, you know, I've got something over around 500 or so free subscribers now, and they're total subscribers. And, you know, I put most of my stuff out for free. I don't want to charge people for knowledge, but, you know, some of my stuff that contains a lot of original source documents will be, you know, for paid subscribers only, because the people who are willing to step up and pay for something deserve a little bit more than those who want it for free, don't you think?
Yes, sir, I agree with that, and I think that your work is very much worth supporting, even if a person didn't do it for that reason, that this research and the work you've done is very valuable. I appreciate you doing it, because I've learned things I never would have known if you had not dug them up for me. They were buried a lot of times by, you know, the disinformation and our quote unquote education system, and Hollywood puts it in a whole different light. If you want to get the real truth, guys, go to michaelgaddy.substack.com. And I support that too. And we do have a caller lined up, sir.
Stephen, go ahead, sir. Let me make one comment before we bring a caller in, if I may, please, mm-hmm. sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. You're familiar with Pastor Ted Weiland, right?
Yes, I've seen his Facebook page. But other than that, I'm not as familiar. But yes, sir.
He and I have been conversing for years, and we did a program called A Bill of Rights or A Bill of Goods, which you can find at his website. It was a great program. I really enjoyed working with I call him Parson Weiland. This week I was digging through some documents, Stephen, and I found something that I had seen earlier, but I had forgotten. And it was the actual documentation that Patrick Henry was offered by the Virginia legislature. Patrick Henry was offered a seat in the first U.S. Senate. The Virginia legislature wanted him to be there. Now, he was the governor of Virginia at the time, but they wanted to put him in as a senator. Patrick Henry refused. And he said, no, I couldn't take that seat because I cannot in good conscience take that oath.
Wow.
He said, I cannot take an oath to uphold and defend a constitution I do not support. So he said, I can't do that. So he turned down a seat in the Senate. So I asked Parson Weiland in a text message when I saw it again, I said, Parson, were you aware of this? And he comes back and he says, no, I had never seen that before. Where did you find that? If you have the documentation, please send it to me. And I sent it to him. And, of course, you know, Pastor Weiland has written a very concise thesis on the Bible versus the Constitution. So he sends me back a text message, which, you know, is just Parson Weiland himself. And he goes, well, when I wrote this thesis on the Bible versus the Constitution, where were you? Why didn't? And he said, and then I sent him a group of letters that had been written by various founders, you know, Jefferson, Madison, George Mason, Edmund Randolph, all of the others, letters that they had written with descriptions of Patrick Henry. And I sent those to him, and he said, wow, I've never seen these either. So, folks, your history is hidden from you, and you're not going to find it by hitting a Google search, because they're not going to show up. So that was just what I wanted to relate to you there, Stephen. The fact that these documents, people, if you think the documents that prove what we're talking about are easily found, forget it. They don't want you to know, so they hide them or they eliminate them. So go ahead, Stephen.
I agree with you completely along those lines. I've come to think the same thing, that this, I would never be able to swear an oath to this Constitution. It was a criminal act to start with, and it protects the government from the people more than the other way around. You know, the Articles of Confederation were the last legitimate government, I think, that existed here until the Confederacy. That's just the way I see it, and I'm willing to debate anybody else that thinks otherwise. But just like you said, these documents, if they're not aware of them, then once they do become aware of them, maybe they would change. Some people, you know, have enough critical thought left to where they could also learn the truth, sad as it might be for us. But, yeah, I appreciate you saying that, especially about Patrick Henry. It's, you know, the real history of the U.S., it's just not what we've been taught. And you have to go learn it for yourself. No one's going to teach it to you unless you go seek it out for yourself. And that's one, I've learned more from you than I have the whole time before in history, in the past 2.5 years that we've been friends. And with that, hey, let me, someone asked about that Rebel Sun song, that's Bury Me in Southern Ground. That was, you know, that somebody had asked that. I see that the producer asked me that. Yeah, Rebel Sun is the name of that band, and it's Bury Me in Southern Ground. That's a good song. They wanted to know that one, Mike. And next, I have a caller. We have Brian in Washington. Brian, thanks for the call, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Earlier you said, well, we got a local person trying to run for political office. This is the way we're going to fix things. I thought, well, Chris Hinckley, 5 days a week on RBN, he's agreed to have a Mary Silva. And, Stephen, if you could go to your Facebook, I had to roust a patriot up named Larkin, Texas, to send to Stephen's Facebook this woman who is running for Congress here in Washington State, and she knows what the communitarian word is as opposed to G. Edward Griffin, who thinks it's called collectivism. Could you possibly go to this that I'm hoping Lark sent you on Facebook, Stephen, and read? I know that this woman is longtime friends with Brendan O'Connell, and he is pushing a lot of things I don't agree with, a new form of governance. I think I'm going to love a 15-minute city. I think fiat currency is fine as long as the U.S. is running it, and let's send two Marine divisions into Israel and set these people straight. These all come out of Brendan's mouth, but Stephen, are you able to access this Facebook from
I will after the show. I will check that out. I don't spend nearly as much time on social media as I did when I'm out there having to hustle to keep the wolves away now. But I do have a Facebook that's Stephen Whitener, and I have a X and also a Gab that I will look at those three sometimes. And I did go to Mike Gaddy's Telegram channel for a history class, but we've been doing the history classes on free conference call. So, you know, that's about the extent of my social media at this point. But people, I'll look at that Facebook thing, and I do have an email that you guys can send to email. I get emails from people too. But yeah, I am not familiar with this person, but Brendan O'Connell, I have seen some of the stuff he put out before, and I have not seen anything like that recently. That's new to me, but you know, I do know who he is. And Mike, are you familiar with this person that's running for office, what do you think about that?
No, I am not familiar with that person. I certainly appreciate the phone call, but I'm not familiar with that person. But there was a time up until the 1980s that I thought that electing someone to the local government is a possibility because, you know, as we talked about last week on our Rebel and Renegade Roundtable, we had two gentlemen on there that I had not voted in almost 20 years, and I registered to vote for those two men on a local level as county commissioners, and they did one heck of a job, did everything they could, but they were still fighting the federal Leviathan, and that's a tough battle. But, Stephen, nothing will ever convince me that someone can elect someone on the national level that will make a difference. You know, I've heard this over and over and over again. It's not going to happen.
I think even Mary Silva for U.S. Congress would agree. Maybe 20 years from now, if I get started now, I can pull my head up from the water and start to swim toward shore. She's in 100% agreement, but see, we have Boeing and Microsoft here, and she is buddying up with Brendan O'Connell because all of the technology has been hacked by Israel. You think these companies have any control over all this? I think not, and that's what she is running on. At a certain point, I'm trying to convince her to run on a promoting biochar ticket to deal with the incredible problem we have with wildfires here. But your Thought Crime Live chat room has Mary Silva. You know, it's spelled just like you would think for U.S. Congress. I would like maybe next week, Stephen, if you could read what she said, and Chris Hinckley is liking it on Facebook. So,
I don't want to take up your whole show. Yeah, thanks for the call, Brian. I'll research that when I get off. And you know, I do think that the only election that really make any difference would be on the local level. And if those guys got you to register to vote, Mike, they really have to be something special. And I can agree with that about the Israel inside, the intel inside, and how I have one of the things that you mentioned, Brendan O'Connell, he would play in his work. He would have this Bibi Netanyahu coming out, quote, or he would say, cyber is power. It was chilling. And, you know, that's been happening since before 9/11. So, yes, I do completely agree with all of that you said. And I guess well, next,
Stephen,
go ahead, sir. Yes, please.
May I?
Yes.
Okay. The one thing that really changed my mind in the early 80s was I was still working with the No Such Agency. And one day I am driving home. You know, I lived in the Washington area. I lived right across the Teddy Roosevelt Bridge in Arlington. I lived, you know, I could see the Lincoln Memorial from my house or my apartment. And I was driving home, and I heard someone say on the radio, well, Congressman Bill Hinton from North Carolina says this, you know, about the MIAs and the POWs and all of this other stuff. And I was like, William Hinton, could that be the Bill Hinton that I know from back in Asheville, North Carolina? Can that be Bill? And so I thought, well, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to stop, and I'm going to go into my apartment. I'm going to call the office in the Cannon office building, and I'm going to find out if this could be the Bill Hinton that I knew, played football with. So I go in and I call the office, and I said, folks, I said, the lady who answered the phone, I said, I'm not sure at all that this is the Bill Hinton that I'm looking for, but would you please tell the congressman that if he remembers Mad Dog, which was my nickname in high school, if he remembers Mad Dog from Asheville? And man, it was about 25 minutes later, Stephen, I got a phone call, and it was the guy I had, you know, he was a couple of years ahead of me in school, but I had played football with him and, you know, and baseball and other stuff. And he said, man, is this you? And I said, yeah. And he said, hey, let's get together. How about meeting me at this restaurant in Georgetown? And I said, all right, I'll be over in about an hour. So I went over, we met, but he told me some things, Stephen, as we were talking, that just really revealed to me. He said, shortly after I was elected, my first term in Congress, he said, the Speaker of the House comes down to my office. And he said, I'm like, wow, Speaker of the House came to see me, a brand new congressman? And he said, he came in, sat down, closed the door, and he said, well, he said, Congressman, here's the way it works. If I need your vote on something, I got it. You will vote as you are instructed. Now, on the others where we have all of the votes we need, you can vote however you think will best benefit your constituency. But on the critical issues, you have I will have your vote. And Bill says, well, wait a minute. No, I'm going to vote my constituency. I'm going to vote for them regardless. And he said, the Speaker of the House said, well, you know, if you vote against me, if you challenge me, I will call the Republican Party in your state. I will call the National Republican Party. You'll never be supported for election again. That's the way it works. So I will have your vote if I need it. And I remember about 2 years later, we were having a cookout on my patio. And Bill said, I don't think I can run again. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, if I run again for Congress, I'm going to have to completely give over everything I believe to this system, and I will be nothing but a puppet on a string. And he said, I can't do that. And I'll be honest with you, I hugged him and I said, Bill, I'm so proud of you. And Bill had gotten heavily involved in the prisoner of war missing in action issue, and that's a story for another program. But anyway, folks, when you get to Congress, if you think one person that you elect from your district is going to make a difference, forget it. It's not going to happen. And how long would it take to elect enough honest people to Congress to have a majority? About 80 years. So if you think you can do it with an election, knock yourself out. Thanks for that opportunity, Stephen.
Thanks for putting it that way, Mike. I completely agree with what you're saying there. I mean, and he may have been good for that one term and say something, but in the long run, you know, it's just the puppetancy that people vote for. I completely agree. We have to do something different. And okay, let's go. We have some more callers. If you guys have a question for Mike, next up is Tom in Florida. Tom, thank you for calling, sir.
Good day, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing, Mike? Yeah, Mike, you're absolutely right. What you just said. It's like, you better play the games like Israeli lobby, the Jewish lobby here in the United States. Either kiss their butt or you're wiped out. They'll wipe you out politically. But I called your show about two things that you brought up, Mike. Main thing was what you were speaking about, Google, and how they're not even putting out the real truthful information. But before I go there, and the reason I bring that up is because Abraham Lincoln, you would never go on Google and find the last months of his papers about what he was going to do now that the Civil War had come to an end. You'll never really find the real truth what his modus of intentions were to do with the slave issue in the free slave. But now, I didn't call really, and a real reason I called, Stephen, is can you imagine you have this Joy Reid, and you have all these black DAs wanting to prosecute Donald Trump. Can you imagine if a white woman would have tried to do that against Barry Sortero Hussein Obama back when he was a president and all the corruption he had did? You imagine if that would have happened? They would have kicked that white woman right off the air. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw the news today with Elon Musk. But he's going after NPR. He's going to crush them because he's going to expose them like they've never been exposed. They're filthy finance. They're getting funny by the taxpayers, lying their ass off about white males. This whole thing is about the destruction of the white male because the white female will fall in place. You know, a long time ago, I can't remember what show it was. I don't know if it was Rivero or one of the shows. Mike, they were saying that whatever conquering army wins, the women will go to that army. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if Chinese were to win a war here, take over cities and stuff, all the women would capitulate and they would go be their concubines, whatever you want to call them, to sleep with the armies that's in power. I mean, you think what's going on here, how whorish this all is. That's the word I'm going to use because I see what's going on right now what they're doing to Trump when you've got all these schmucks. I'm going to call them putzes. You know, that's a new word for me, putzes. You got all these putzes lying and conniving like this guy Cohen and this Cohen and this Merkowitz and this Goldman and the whole thing, Raskins. You got these little rascal Raskins. I mean, the whole thing is a giant, filthy cabal that we can't even, the American people, they can't comprehend it. It's uncomprehendable to them. They're like, what is this? It's about the population. They're 1.8.
Let me ask you this, Tom. What do you think? I mean, this voting in this Constitution, you know, Mike called that the pacifier that they let us suck on while they're rapists. That's what this government is doing to us. I mean, that seems obvious to me.
Absolutely.
Sir, I think you're right. Yeah, Mike, let me let you respond before we take our other
comments. Totally agree with you.
Well, here's the thing, is what you have described, in my opinion, Tom, what you have described is just part of the psyop. Because how do you separate the races, but with the flagrant violations like that. And you bring up a great point, because if there would have been a bunch of white journalists or white lawyers or white judges who had gone after Obama, there would have been uproar to the hilt. But that is how they plan their psyops. They run these things by people, and then, you know, now they're doing it the other way around, and they're doing it simply because it creates an emotional response, not logical, but it creates an emotional response. And what you do is, you, with the pushing these issues, we perpetuate that racial divide. We have to find ways to get around that racial divide. If we don't, it's going to destroy us.
Absolutely. We have more in common, I believe, as the government being our literal enemy in this country. Now, we live in an occupied land. I think we have, going all the way back to at least the Second War for Independence. So, I mean, I think that's obvious, you know.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you guys got to look at the linchpin here. The linchpin that's pulled is what's going on, like what you're talking about. What is happening in Israel? You got, you know, the Jewish state of Israel, which has different sects of Jews, the Kenazis, the Sephardites, they'll do anything to protect their encampment, their fort. They're doing everything, anything. But if like in our country, when the majority is in the rule, supposedly, we can't be in the majority. We have to be silenced. We have to be quiet. We have to stand in a corner, put a dunce cap on it, because the majority cannot literally get its word out in this country. Donald Trump, I guess he bought social media. He got Elon Musk. He had bought X now, which was Twitter. You know, some messages get out. But you basically have to stand toe in line, and you can't really tell the truth. There's the majority. All it is attack, attack, attack. And I mean, I would love for all the races to come together and everybody to be in a great scenario like that, a utopian thing, but that's not possible. Not with the way that they're running our government, guys. So have a great day. Thanks for taking a call.
Thanks a lot, Tom. We'll be right back after the bottom of the hour break, folks. Taking your calls.
I am a bold marauder in a tie-ho hay. I am a white destroyer. For I will show you silver and gold, and I will bring you treasure. I will wave a widowing flag, and I will be your lover. And I will show you grotto and cave and sacrificial altar. And I will show you.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Thought Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network. I heard the Dixie Republic ad during that break, and I wanted to let you guys know that this afternoon and evening in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, at the Dixie Republic, one of RBN's advertisers, there's going to be a strong arm contest, and weigh-in starts at 4, and I do plan to be there if anybody's going to be in the neighborhood. Just wanted to throw that into you, and boy, that's where we met, Mr. Gaddy. That was a very, very good time that we had there. I always have an interesting time with like-minded people there.
Well, I've never had a moment at the Dixie Republic I didn't thoroughly enjoy.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And next up, we have James in Vancouver. James, maybe one of these days you'll pop in at the Dixie Republic.
that would be a good idea, but I don't think I'm that much good for arm wrestling, but...
Oh, yeah.
Me either.
No, I couldn't do that either. I'm just watching. I'm going to watch and talk to folks, yeah.
The what's happened in the last week, we're talking about voting and whatnot, and, well, you have this Israel-Iran confrontation, and, of course, earlier you were talking about war, and I think anybody who's in the weapons business sees this as a potential windfall. And it occurred to me that Iran is probably being technically supported in that issue by China. And so that Iran has become a proxy of China. And, of course, Israel is a very active proxy for the United States. So I just wondered, Mike and even if you... saw that, and that'll affect the election coming up and the leaders in the United States. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think most assuredly you're exactly correct, but the only thing I would correct there, my friend, is the fact that Israel is not a proxy for the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
The United States is a proxy for Israel.
I know that. I was just being politically correct.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Don't be politically correct there, my
all
friend.
All right, all right.
You'll stumble over it every time.
Show. I'll tell you what. Well, let's take that a second. Let's take that. The Jews are running it, but I think, you see, China is going to be their nemesis, if it's not already. Back to you.
Well, you know, I do know, I did some research on that a few months back, and I know that Iran has a political compact with both China and Russia. And,
yeah.
Well, how could you blame them? I mean, if we
right.
go back to 1953, Operation Ajax, America and Britain went in and took over the elected government of Iran. And do you think their ancestors don't remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is, again, what I'm getting at, because people, you were talking about voting just now and how everyone's got to go along with the Speaker of the House, that kind of thing, of course. And, yeah, everyone's got they're bound by their secret oaths in Congress, you know, that people don't know about. So what I'm saying is here... Is this Iran situation having its relationship with Russia and China in the end will actually sort of solve the whole mess between Israel and United States in the long run? This is what I was getting. Well, what do you think about that? Like,
let me say that the BRICS is happening too. That they're.
Yeah.
That split is going on, too. It has to do with the currency
right.
in a lot of ways. And like you've pointed out, that's who ends up getting a nice war, whoever tries to turn away from this monetary
yeah.
system. And that whole thing is kind of coming to a head, too, I believe. Go ahead, Mike.
Right.
Please respond.
Well, the other point that I think about as I look at all of this, I think our final filter has to be this. Is it actually happening? Because the media
yep.
is controlled by the Jewish cabal.
Right.
Totally controlled.
Yep.
So the only news we get, it's like William Casey said, we will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. So, and, you know, what is the motto of Mossad? By deception, we make war. So is any of these things that are happening in the Middle East, is there an American today who could testify to its veracity? No.
Well, that I agree with you. That I had considered that. And, for example, that October 7th thing, I looked at Al Jazeera's program with the so-called video of what was happening, and it occurred to me that that could have been a Hollywood job. That I don't think people... It wasn't what they said, you see.
Let me tell you the one thing that I found out during my years in the oxymoronic government intelligence field was the CIA operates their own version of Al Jazeera.
Yeah,
and they publish stuff as
right.
if it's coming from Al Jazeera when it's not.
Exactly.
So the thing we have to do is we have to be able to discern and just not believe something because some plastic head person on the news, whether it be Fox or CNN or MSNBC or whatever it is, we have to understand that they are reading a script that was handed to them by the CIA before they went on air.
Right. Right.
Because
even in
the 70s, I was trying to think who it was, even in the 70s, the CIA testified before Congress, before the Senate, and they were open in their statement. We own everyone of any major importance in the major media.
I think that was Colby. Yes, sir.
Yeah, William Colby. Thanks. Thank you. I knew it.
I know that what happened on the Liberty happened, because I talked to the guys who were there that it happened too. But
exactly.
Unless I know someone there in the, you know, that's, you're right. I have to take it all with a grain of salt. The one contact that I had has disappeared over in Israel. I haven't been able to contact them. And, you know, what I have done in the past with the, especially the Ukraine and Russia situation, is go to Telegram and read, translated accounts, but you know, I'm not sure how I can vet their veracity. I saw that this guy Tex Bentley was killed the other day, who had been over there part of reporting some of that, who had moved from the U.S. So it's hard to do. You're right, and I can't say that I know for sure what is happening. I just, you know, we have the official narrative, and then we have what is obvious as far as the false flags stuff come. You can pick those apart a lot in real time, but you know, this Israel even has clamped down on reporting. You know, they're trying to control what the people say, and you used to be that, as ironic as it was, the Israeli press was some of the most journalistic in the world at one point, but now, you know, it's just all propaganda. It's hard to know. I don't know. How would you do you have sources there, Mike, or how would you vet what you see on the news?
Well, I have a few that I contact from time to time. Certainly can't release their names, but I have a few that I contact. But I think, Stephen, the time that it actually hit me, as my grandpa used to say, right between the horns, was 1966. And I'm on my way home from my first tour in Vietnam. And we land in Hawaii. And so it's what you want. I wanted a glass of milk, and I wanted a real hamburger. And so I remember going into a restaurant. Well, there was a newspaper as I went in, and I picked up the newspaper. And I got in there, and there was a report on the battle, one of the largest battles at that time, which I had participated in, and I read the newspaper report of the battle, and it wasn't true. I mean, almost nothing in that report that they said was actually what I saw happen. And so then I think at the ripe old age of maybe 20, I begin to see that, hey, this ain't right. They're not telling us the truth. Why are they not telling us the truth? So, you know, right. If... to try to believe what's on the media, I think we have to work really hard. And there's very few people who have that kind of confirmation within themselves to actually say, well, you know, this may or may not be the truth. Because I'll guarantee you there are a couple of hundred million people, if Tucker Carlson said that the world was upside down and a plane was going to crash into it tomorrow, everybody would rush out and start buying protective stuff. Because they believe, because they pick out a personality, and believe you me, the people in charge know these personalities to pick. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Tucker Carlson, they know all of the people that they can use for controlled opposition. And I know we want to believe them. That's the thing that traps us. The thing that traps us is we want to believe what they're saying. We really do. And if they suddenly say something that we agree with, oh, they're telling the truth. But then you have to remember that they tell one truth and 10 lies.
Or they maybe tell 10 truths and embed a dangerous lie in those.
Yeah,
like you
either
mentioned
way.
Before, that yes. they bait the hook with a lot of truth to hook you with that lie when they do their psyops. Hey, all right. James, thanks very much for the call, sir. I have more to get to. Anything else before?
Hey, thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay, we'll let you go. Thanks, Kelly. Bye now.
All right, thanks. So next up is Patrick in Texas. Hello, Patrick. Thanks for the call, sir.
Cool. Yeah, Tet Offensive with the communist attacks in South Vietnam, and the media played it up like, oh, it was a surprise attack, and they just, you know, obliterated everybody and everything. That was not true. That in reality, we were preparing for that because we knew this was our Lunar New Year. And they were going to have an offensive, and we actually, you know, just absolutely destroyed them. They had a massive amount of losses. And just another example of how the media controls the narrative. But you know, you made it very clear that the voting is, you know, is always rigged, And there's like you got the welfare and proper clause, and there's also the interstate commerce clause where, you know, a farmer can't sell his own grains that he grew to his own cattle, because he could have used that for interstate commerce. It's just another government control, and they can't control, you know, like the cattle Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland, how they control all these markets through the government regulations. And, you know, there's just no way we can compete with them. We don't have the massive money. So we've got to have to, you know, go back to, back up and regroup and, you know, go, have a smaller scale. And, I think as a League of the South has got the ticket there. It's like, you know, train your young men in a skill. And, you know, and it's going to have to come that way from the roots. And that's the only solution I see. Back over to y'all.
Mike?
Well, I can't disagree with you. I believe that first and foremost, freedom and rightful liberty have to be existing in the hearts of each individual. You know, I hate collective stuff, because anytime you start dealing with the collective, you move into Marxism. Individuals acting together with a common goal is the answer in so many ways. But the thing about it is we are so inundated with just one political lie after another that is brought to you. Do you think the fact that CNN went to 24-hour news instead of an hour in the evenings, do you think that was an accident? No. They had learned that, you know, the 15 minutes, you know, with the, you know, Walter Cronkite, or, you know, whoever it was back then, they knew that that 15 minutes of national news that we, Stephen, that I saw as a young man growing up when we first got a television, was that 15 minutes. That's all you had, 15-minute news, you know, national news. You didn't have someone telling you what to think 24 hours a day. And now look at it. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, 24 hours a day of nothing but propaganda. That's a massive mind control. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. They're programming us. I agree completely. That I remember when that went to 24-hour news, and then, you know, they did the stories that could catch everybody's attention. I remember that Baby in the Well was one where everybody was on the same page at the same time, kind of thing. And that's a huge psyop in their data mine and all that. I agree. We have to look at things for ourselves. Thanks for the call, Patrick. I appreciate that.
Yes, Patrick. Thank you very much.
Stephen, go ahead.
Let me throw in one other thing. Did you notice that the 24-hour news cycle came around about the same time as the 24-hour sports cycle?
Yes, that's true. ESPN and cable TV, they both started just about the same time. Yes, sir. I do remember that.
So that was a master psyop. You know, that was mind control. That was MK Ultra. That was the end result of the Project MK Ultra. And no one seemed to get upset when the CIA destroyed all of their records on MKUltra. Why didn't Congress charge those people with destroying actual evidence? Why wasn't Congress going after the CIA? Well, they couldn't, because the CIA controls Congress.
And what they've done with the 24-hour news cycles, they're able to impose that trauma-based mind control on everyone now that they were perfecting in the MKUltra experiments, too. I believe that's what's been going on as well. And I have one more caller. I think I know this person. It's Wendy from South Carolina. Wendy,
oh,
thanks
no,
for the call.
Not her.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Wendy.
Hi. It's a great show. I'm really been learning a lot. I have a couple of questions. I've made a few notes on the idea of CNN, just where you've left off with CNN becoming 24 hours. I remember that. I was not old enough to vote yet, But I was being pushed by my family far into the lefty world of imaginings of a world that really did not exist, but just formulated in a way to position people to be okay with their families being taken apart. You know, it had already started with women's rights, which, hey, I'm a woman. I am all for having the right to think for myself. However, what it really was the right to work yourself to death. That's what it really, it always reminds me of Pinocchio, the way that they were, the boys were all tricked into that boat with the promise of candy and fun and do whatever you want. And then when they get there, they all turn into asses and then they're sold off.
Well, Wendy,
I always remember how Disney and the evil, let me just say Disney and the evils, they do try to kind of put little nuggets of truth in all of the garbage lies that they weave and spin, and almost like an in-your-face flaunting. You know, they did it with Trump and The Simpsons, I think. but in this case, the story of Pinocchio, I believe that's what is happening, and that we're being sold off, or that we were sold off long ago. Mike, before I give it over to you, because we only have a little bit of time, my question is, for a solution, did the Articles of Confederation, did they take into account other factions and how we could protect ourselves from the other factions? Because if we can shake off the one we're underneath now, there's like four or five more that would love to take us apart and get a piece of us.
Well, great question, Wendy. And the point is, I think so many times people are totally unfamiliar with the Articles of Confederation. I plan to do some Substacks, and I have done some, on the Articles of Confederation to let people know that the Articles of Confederation, number one, were not perfect because they were created by man. But they were still much better than we had today, because if you really look at it, the Articles of Confederation gave us almost everything that the people are screaming for. You know, they had term limits. They had immediate recall. If you elected someone to Congress and they went there and didn't do what they said they did, all you had to do was send them a note and say, hey, come on back home. You lied.
You're fired.
And they kept the government power in check some. They had to be unanimous and reach a consensus. So, you know, just the majority didn't rule the way it does. If they could get 51%, just you have to go along with it. That came after the Articles of Confederation too. That I think it was a much better system when we had independent states, were literally independent nations, and we had a commonwealth, a confederation of those coming together on the issues that affected all of them.
And let's remember, the Articles of Confederation had no president. They had no bureaucracy. They had no FBI, CIA, NSA. They had none of that. And the states, one state could say, nope, you're not doing that. So one state could stop oppression. Just one state could stop it and say, nope, you can't do that. Well, they had to get away from that. They could not allow that to happen. And each state was allowed to print its own currency. That was one of the big reasons most people don't understand. That's one of the big reasons that the federal government felt like they had to stop this.
Right, because they didn't have the monopoly.
Yes.
They didn't have control.
Monopoly of the money is monopoly of the people.
Yes, sir, and they've done it systematically with our education. Now our health, well, I laughed because it isn't health care, is it? That system that they call health care. You know, along with any other big, major doings on this land, they've taken this faction that calls themselves our government, entirely out of control, has foreigners pouring in over open borders, and still our younger generation, chirp, 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 because they were taken apart long ago. Their families were taken apart, and they've been raised in public school. And they are told what to think. The last 15 minutes of a news program in the morning, I can hardly stand it now. But they literally say the words,
here's what you need to know. And they tell it to you, and you can get it. They can get it to you in 2 minutes before you leave the
thanks
house.
Thanks very much for the call. I see that. Can I bring Tom?
Thank you,
on
Wendy.
With
you?
Yes. Go on. Bye,
very
guys.
Much.
I really
appreciate you the call. And Tom in Utah. Yeah, hi, Tom. You'll close us out, sir.
Hi, Steve and Mike. And Mike, I'm still desperately trying to advocate for this poor veteran who's been accused of stolen valor. And I think you mentioned to me you had experience working in records that seem to have disappeared.
Oh, yes, many times. I tell you what, they can make your records disappear in a heartbeat. I am actually I can actually have personal knowledge of that. They can make your entire records disappear in a heartbeat. It is no problem whatsoever. And I know they did it to a great friend of mine, Command Sergeant Major Charles Eatley, Chucky, as my kids called him, Uncle Chucky. Just a fantastic guy. I went to the old soldier's home back in the middle 1980s, and got Chucky to come live with us. And you want to talk about stolen valor, I can tell you all you need to know.
Good. When is a good time to have you contact me?
Well, I tell you what, do you have my email address?
I don't have internet.
Oh, okay.
The only thing I have is a telephone. If you go to TomInUtah.com, a.k.a. Flames of Injustice, my phone number is there. Would you please call me?
I'll do the very best I can. Probably going to be the first of the week, though, buddy.
If not, I'll get Steven to beat up on you.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Tom. And thank you, Mr. Gaddy. Mike Gaddy will be Rebel Mad on Rebel Mad Mad Radio this afternoon. Y'all commit more thought crimes.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.